to jump around. Crisscross.
Crisscross, you don't jump, jump.
Is that what the song they have? Oh. Have I asked you that before?
Yes.
What was the song? Hip-hop.
Jump, jump.
Or something. What?
Wow.
No?
Keep flowing, Juan. Keep flowing.
What was that song?
I think you mixed in like Grandmaster Flash with Crisscross.
Yeah, well, Rapper's Delight.
That's House of Pain.
That's House of Pain. I knew that. I did know that. Hey, do you know that if I was a beat reporter, let's say, for the Cubs or the White Sox, and one of them had a doubleheader, I mean, that would be one of your longest days of the year, wouldn't it, Mike? I mean, wouldn't you agree?
That'd be a long day at the office.
You'd be working. So I assume Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald is working hard today, right, Megan?
That would be a good guess. Busted. But no, I am not working today.
All right, so how did you get out of not covering a doubleheader?
Well, I covered one of the doubleheaders earlier this year, and I decided that since this end of the week it's going to be Cubs Sox, and based on when I have to take days off, today was a good choice.
Okay, so it's even taxing for a beat writer to cover a doubleheader. Okay, how do you cover a doubleheader? I mean, do you not necessarily put much stake in the first game unless something big happens and then cover more of the second? Or how does that work?
I mean, you still kind of treat it like a regular day. Like, I would still get there at, like, if today's game was at 1, I'd just get there by 9:30. They still have all their, like, pregame stuff. Quadi or Ozzy would talk.
Sure.
The clubhouse is open. So it basically is not treated any differently. And depending on if I'm writing a game story or feature that day, you'd probably want to lead with the last game since that's the later one.
Right.
But it also would depend on, you know, what happens in game.
So you get there at 9:30. Do you stretch and stuff and get ready for the day?
Nope. Down there bright and early, though.
Well, Megan, we were just having a discussion. Omar Vizquel kind of brought this up. He's 44 years old. He's about 172 hits away from 3,000. And we were arguing whether if he gets 3,000 hits or not, whether he should be a Hall of Famer. One of us between line said, absolutely, 3,000 hits, you're a Hall of Famer. The other one said, well, it might take him 24, 25 seasons in the major leagues to get to that. What do you think? If he gets 3,000 hits, is Omar Vizquel a Hall of Famer?
Oh, Megan, we're losing Megan, so we're going to effort her back. I mean, and I was ready for that. I was ready for her question, her
cell
answer.
Phones.
What are we going to do about these things?
Have you seen that movie? What's the movie where the cell phones, like, come to life? Or is that a movie within
what?
A movie?
I don't know. Wall-E?
I don't remember what the movie was.
Wall-E, was that Carms? That little guy that went...
Brr. No, it's in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when they're talking about a movie that Sarah Marshall did. And it's about cell phones coming to life and killing people.
Oh, jeez. Now, do you think Megan will call us back, or do we need to call her?
Oh, I'm sure she'll call
back. Okay. All right, let's keep chatting about this a little bit till we get Megan back. He's in. 3,000 hits. He's got to be in.
No, man, that's Tuesday tomfoolery right there, Lon.
I mean, come on. Listen, what do they call that? Right, if you don't make the vote, then the Veterans Committee,
yes,
they will put him in.
Why?
I mean, let's go
over some
hits.
Stats from Omar Vizquel.
Has there ever been a 3,000 hit guy not make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, we just talked about it. Well, Pete Rose is one of them.
Well, okay, but
Craig Biggio.
Well, but he's not even allowed yet.
Well, he's not going to get in.
I'm telling you, they're in.
Rafael Palmeiro's the other one, of course.
But steroids,
that's a bigger issue.
So you got two of the three have issues.
You think Craig Biggio's a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I think he's a Hall of Famer anyway. Well, Craig Biggio was a stud.
Question, though.
Catcher and second baseman.
Give me some reasons.
He excelled. Well, he was a winner. He excelled at two different positions, and he had 3,000 hits.
All right, Omar Vizquel, a three-time All-Star, multiple, I think, 10, 11-time Gold Glover.
Okay.
If you compare Omar Vizquel to a guy, I would say maybe Ozzie Smith.
Oh, yes.
Which I know we're in Cardinals Nation, and I know we're the Cardinals affiliate.
And he's a Hall of Famer,
and
right?
He is a Hall of Famer.
And that's questionable. Is that what you're going to say?
No.
I think it is questionable.
No.
A little bit in my mind.
Oh.
I love Ozzie Smith.
I think we're giving the answer away to Megan.
But come on.
Megan Montemurro's back with us. I'm sorry, Megan. We were losing you there.
No, that's okay. My apartment has, like, some dead zones, apparently.
You walked through one.
Yeah, apparently. But, yeah, as I was saying, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. And, it was interesting because... You know, he's been in the league so long, and, you know, I just kind of wanted to see what he thought of how much longer he'll be playing. And it was funny, he always said that he was going to stop playing once he was 40, but when he once he reached that point, he still has been in such good shape.
Yes.
So he said he's going to wait till the end of the season to evaluate if he'll play another. But as for the whole 3,000 hit thing, I'm going to say no.
In oh!
3-1.
Because I understand 3,000 hits are a big deal, but, I mean, I guess compare him and Jeter. I mean, would you take both of them? Do you take one? I mean, they each have intangibles. Vizquel, he's been a good defender.
Awesome defender.
But, yeah, but, I mean, really, if you look beyond his Cleveland Indian years, I mean, he's floated around in the league for a decent amount since his late 30s.
True.
You know?
Well, listen, there's been
hard to say.
What, three guys that aren't in that have 3,000. One is Pete Rose, who is not allowed in. The other is Rafael Palmeiro,
who's not allowed in,
who's
by
not
the
allowed in because of steroids. And the other is Craig Biggio, who has not been up for the vote yet. I don't know, Megan. It's 3-1, so you young people are winning this battle. But,
well, I know Ozzy said that he thinks he's a Hall of Famer, so I get that.
I don't.
Okay, that counts as a two.
I don't put much thought into what Ozzie Guillen says
what
anymore.
What did Omar Vizquel? Did you ask Omar Vizquel that question?
I was more looking at, you know, just his longevity, but I know the kind of the consensus around the fact clubhouse is that they feel like he's a Hall of Famer. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm right now on the side of no, but I can see where there'd be an argument for yes.
Well, Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald covered both the Cubs and Sox, and the Cubs in a doubleheader today, losing the first game 13-7. The ball's getting out of Wrigley today. But one good thing I think the Cubs can look at is Carlos Pena hit another home run today, has 17 homers. He's hitting like .230 right now, which I think as a Cubs fan you should be ecstatic about. And I think I was one of the only people... I don't want to take too much credit for this, but when they signed him, I love that signing. I think they're starting to finally bear fruit with this guy.
Oh, yeah. When I saw that he was signed with the Cubs, I thought that was a great choice. I mean, he's been great in the clubhouse. He's always very insightful whenever you ask questions, regardless of the topic. And now especially that he's hitting home runs, which is what he's getting paid to do. I mean, he easily could have 20 by the All-Star break, and that's after having none in the month of April. So... you know, even Claudia and him, after that rough April, they both said, you know, hey, it's going to come around. The weather was awful. So the fact that he already has 17 now, which is the most in the major since he hit his first one in early May, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, it's not that bad of a deal. He signed for 1 year for $10 million, $5 million of which is deferred to next year. So, I mean, I think it's definitely what they needed in this lineup and in the clubhouse.
And Aramis Ramirez heating up a little bit, too. Two home runs yesterday. He's 2-for-4 so far today. So you got Alfonso Soriano back. Kosuke Fukudome is hitting well. Is this a sign that the Cubs can actually make a move, or is this just them helping their trade value?
I mean, I don't think hitting was ever the issue. I mean, if you look at their lineup, I mean, compare it with the White Sox lineup, who do you think, just straight looking at the lineups, would have their better record? You would think the Cubs. It's been the pitching that's been the biggest issue. And as for trading and the trade deadline in about a little more than a month, it's going to be difficult. A lot of the contracts, I mean, Aramis, he's due almost $15 million this year, and he has a full no trade clause. Fukudome, he's in his last year of the deal, and if he keeps hitting that way, maybe, you know, he's an option. But, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of pieces that you really can't move that you would be willing to give up.
Megan, who makes the all-star team for the Cubs? I mean, when you look down this, I mean, Starlin Castro is probably their best player, but shortstop, we know, with Jimmy Rollins, Troy Tulowitzki, all the shortstops in the NL, is he the guy that's still going to make it, or who else could?
The punter.
I mean, I personally think it should be. I mean, granted, his defense hasn't been amazing, but I mean, I don't really think many guys get selected to the all-star game based on defense. So, I think if you look at the total package offensively, he would be the pick. I mean, I think he has like 10 stolen bases and he's only been caught once or something like that. So, you know, he's pretty much the all-around package. If they decide to not go that route, I mean, I guess Aramis. I mean, he's hitting close to .290, has some power. Maybe Carlos Pena. I'm trying to think of, you know, who's in first base in the NL. I mean, Pujols is out. So
Jeff Samardzija. Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and if you look at the bullpen, Sean Marshall has had a really good year.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I think Sean Marshall could be that guy.
We're talking about left-handed specialists.
I really wouldn't be surprised if... If it's not Starlin Castro, I would not be surprised if it's Sean Marshall.
Wow.
I know. But that's equivalent to the punter, because my Arizona Cardinals always, they never got a Pro Bowler except for the punter. They would just allow him to go because you had to.
Yeah. Well, Mike Quadi was named one of the bench coaches today by the Giants' Bruce Bochy since Riggleman stepped down. So I guess they got one all-star there.
Cubs better wrap him up long-term right now.
Yeah.
Well, Megan Mathurin from the Northwest Herald covers the Cubs and Sox. Let's switch to the South Side real quick. I'm done with Juan Pierre.
I want
Diane Viciado up here. And Juan Pierre only has 10 steals in 19 attempts. If he's not stealing bases, what is he worth to this Sox team anymore?
Not much. I mean, his defense, I mean, if you look at Lillibridge, how well he's done out in the outfield, I mean, you really don't have much, but Ozzie is sticking by his guns for right now, and he likes him in that leadoff spot, because if you don't have him there, honestly, you really don't have a leadoff guy. Lillibridge isn't a guy that really should be in the lineup every day, and when he is, he's not really a leadoff type of guy. But I've kind of gotten the impression and heard that, you know, they might be waiting for Viciado's arbitration date to pass.
Ooh.
So they get an extra year out of him, which is somewhere in early July, I believe. So I wouldn't be surprised if by the All-Star break he's called up or right after the All-Star break. But, you know, Ozzie defends Pierre quite frequently and doesn't understand why everyone solely attacks him when you have guys like Rios and Quinton right now and obviously Dunn not hitting.
Hmm.
But no one seems to be criticizing all of those guys as much. But I think Adam Dunn would differ. Yeah, well, and the funny thing is when he does defend him, people ask about, you know, stealing bases, and he's like, well, you have to get on base to do that. So it's kind of like...
he's arguing against himself.
It's kind of like he knows what the issues are, but he admitted that if Viciado's brought up, then, you know, something has to happen because you can't have 26 guys on the team, so...
Megan Mazzamuro from the Northwest Herald. She covers the White Sox and the Cubs daily, though she has the day off today. Kind enough to join us here on the Tay and Jay Show. Megan, because we like to teach our viewers, not our viewers, that was TV, our listeners, what do you mean by, I understand it, but explain a little bit about the arbitration and not bringing a kid up too quick because you lose a year. Explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, just, you know, in brief, easy terms. Basically, when you bring a young guy up, everyone has an arbitration date, which makes them eligible to basically try and get more money out of the team if they're playing well. And that date is set based on when they're brought up. So that's why you don't see too many guys brought up too early in the year, because that means the team has one less year to keep them.
Right.
Where they don't owe them extra money. So in Viciado's case, if they can wait as long as possible, even though they'll still have him for half this year, his date to take the Sox to arbitration to get more money is pushed back an entire year. He's basically under contract for longer.
Perfect. Megan, that was perfectly explained. And I know, I mean, really, it's a good thing to explain. A lot of people don't understand that. So here's the scoop, Megan. If Omar Vizquel makes the Hall of Fame, then you and Jeremy owe me a night out.
All right.
And vice versa.
You're gonna have quite a few years to wait because you're not retired yet. But
that might be 10 years from now.
Listen, if he makes it though, I will hunt you guys down.
Okay.
Well,
that's,
it's gonna have to be on the stipulation as a player, because he told me he wants to manage.
Stipulation player. You and Jeremy owe me a night out.
All right, sounds good.
Darn. Megan, thank you so much.
No problem.
All right, it is always fun to have Megan Mazzamuro on from the Northwest Herald. Interesting stuff about what she says about Juan Pierre and bringing. I don't know. What do you do?
Viciado, if a lot of people don't know him, he's third baseman, can play outfield, play corner outfield as well. He hit about 300 last year in 100 at-bats, hit 5 home runs. So this is a guy that produced at the major league level, but they wanted to keep him down this year, get him some more time. The arbitration number has a lot to do with that. He's hitting 330 with 12 home runs in the minors right now.
Wow.
And when you're struggling offensively like the Sox are,
you need a spark.
You need him. And I understand it's all about the salary right now with the arbitration number. But if it's when that date comes, he better be up because the White Sox need offense, which is weird to say given how much money is in that offense now.
Oh, it's crazy. Listen, we're heavy for a break. Let's take it. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM. 2-